Welcome to the Monkey House. It's me here in the year 2024, and I'm about to be in Sydney and Brisbane. Sydney from the 8th to the 12th of May, Brisbane from the 16th to the 19th of May, doing my show Dryer Dryer at the respective comedy festivals in those cities. But I'm also, while I'm up there, I figured I had a couple of days to kill, so I'm doing a Who Knew It with Matt Stewart on Monday, the 13th of May at the Chippendale Hotel, and in Brisbane at Good Chat Comedy on the 14th of May. And you can get tickets for all of that. Now, go to mattstewartcomedy.com for the links. mattstewartcomedy.com. Now, on with the show.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Primates, the podcast where we explore primates in popular culture from Chimpan A all the way down to Chimpan Z. I'm your host, Matt Stewart, and this week joining me in the Monkey House is comedian and returning guest, Suren Jayamana.
Hello.
Thanks so much for having me in your house.
Weird for the host to be. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, that's right. In the Monkey House here. It's so good to be here. I mean, the Monkey House is a state of mind in a lot of ways. This week, it's in Sydney. So we've just finished our run at the Sydney Comedy Fringe Festival. What's it called?
Sydney Fringe Comedy Festival. You're close.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. And we had a really good time.
Yeah, it was great. Three shows, all sold out.
All bangers.
All absolute bangers.
Cannot believe how much we changed comedy in such a short period of time.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you wanted to fact check any of that.
No.
But you've just doubled down.
Yeah, I think, well, there'll be
people
listening now going, you know what, I saw some comedy tonight and it was different. We did that.
Yep.
It'll never be the same again. You might hear a dog wandering around. That's Larry.
Larry, yes, he's allowed in the Monkey House.
Yeah, one of the few dogs allowed in. He gets on well with any kind of great ape
he's
or
good
monkey.
With, yeah, sort of, well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, technically he's bad with... I think it would be a nightmare if there was a chimpanzee in here.
Yeah, even if Larry wasn't here, I think it would be a bit of a nightmare if there was a chimpanzee.
I got a problem with chimpanzees. No, they just belong outside of suburban Sydney, probably.
No, yeah, exactly. We're under the flight path.
Yeah, they'd be very confused.
Trying to do them a favour.
So this is the first episode of Primates we've recorded in like a year, I reckon. So it's so good to be back. Welcome back, listeners. This week on the show, we're going to be talking about weird monkey news. I think this is the fifth edition of the weird monkey news subgenre of primates. And Saran, I thought I'd kick off with one of... I'm going to give you three options. I haven't even really read these articles through, okay. But I found three articles that sounded interesting. And we'll get through at least one of them. I think you've brought one as well.
Yeah, I have a story. Not an article.
Oh, you're gonna tell it off just straight off the top of the head. Love that. All right, so we've got robotic gorilla films wild gorillas singing for the first time ever. Which is a lot of info in that headline.
Maybe repeat that for me.
Robotic gorilla films wild gorillas singing for the first time ever. We've got how quirk of primate evolution gave humans the voice apes lack, or Tinder for apes to help find mates for breeding.
I feel like their third heading has, it's the most titillating.
Yeah.
But it probably will be the least exciting. Yeah, it's pretty much what it is, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a Tinder for apes and it helps them breed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've probably summed it up.
The sound of the middle article that you...
Oh, I had the quirk of primate evolution.
Yeah.
All right, well, this is a Guardian article.
Okay, let's go to the first one then.
You got a problem with the Guardian newspaper?
I'm hoping the first one's from the Daily Telly.
No, it's from... allthat'sinteresting.com. Is that the one you want?
Yeah. No, well, now I got scared that the Guardian article might be too boring.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
but no, let's commit to that.
The other one's got interesting in the website title, so.
Exactly. Can't be.
So we'll go with that. We'll go with the first one then.
Okay.
All right. Maybe we'll have time to get to the Guardian article.
This is good sizzle for the...
All right, so it is titled
Guardian.
Animatronic Ape Sent to Spy on Wild Gorillas Films Them Singing During Dinner Together. It's such a long headline. This is by Marco Margatov and checked by Leah Silverman.
Oh, great.
That's cool.
She's purely checking for interest.
Yes. I'm just checking in. This was published in April 2020 and updated in April 2021.
Beautiful.
Maybe by Leah after she checked it. Let me read from that article now. The robot was so convincing that the mountain gorillas accepted it into their troop. That's the subtitle.
Oh, great.
A little sizzle.
Yeah.
I'm in. I really hope the mic's picking that up. Larry is going to town on a squeak toy.
Yes. It adds to the texture of the podcast.
Yeah.
But it... I mean,
if the mics aren't picking it up, we sound like we've lost it.
Yes. You'll hear it before you post this.
But I don't edit this show. Oh. The show goes out untouched and I probably won't hear it.
Well, I know someone who could check in.
Yeah. I wonder if I should give Leah Silverman a call and see if she wants to start checking podcasts. All right. So Marco writes... If you thought primate behavior was remarkably human before, wait until you see a troop of mountain gorillas joyfully singing and farting while eating dinner together. Documentary filmmakers managed to capture this remarkable footage for the first time ever using a realistic spy gorilla. A realistic spy gorilla. No one of those unrealistic spy gorillas that you've read all about. In order to film the returning PBS series Nature... Spy in the Wild 2, which follows animals closely in their intimate lives, John Downer Productions had to make its cameras as invisible as humanly possible. So they crafted a hyper-realistic robot gorilla to blend in with animals and to spy on them. Now, Saran, if I can show you the robot gorilla, I'd love you to describe it to the listeners, please. Okay. I mean, firstly, I guess what you'd say is it's a very realistic gorilla.
The cameras look invisible to me, so they've succeeded with that. The thing that really jumps out at me, and it does look quite realistic, this gorilla, but the eyes they're so telling. There's a lot of expression in those eyes, and it's a solemn. This gorilla, this robot gorilla, has seen stuff,
and I guess it has.
Yes,
it's seen gorillas farting and singing. That's what those eyes tell me.
There's a lot going on in just the eyes.
Yeah, it is quite an amazing. It almost looks, it sort of almost looks like a mock-up of an ancient, missing link, which I know is, and listeners have said before, there is no such thing as a missing link, but that kind of old scientific idea that there was a missing link between the apes and the human apes.
Yeah.
But it is, it's quite
so listeners have pointed out there's no missing link.
There's no missing link. So we branched off separately. There's no link between us.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I believe someone, a very helpful listener, pointed that out.
Great. Because for a minute there, I thought there's no missing link. The link is fully known.
Yeah.
And we found it here.
Yes. It's this. It's a robot gorilla. Listeners, I'll post this on social media as the photo of this beautiful.
I feel like I recognize those eyes.
Yeah.
It's like they've designed the aesthetic of the gorilla based on gorillas, but somehow the designer, I don't know if he got lost in a painting or something.
Yeah.
Those are human eyes.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. That's why I'm talking about it. Somewhere halfway between
this is the link.
Gorilla and human. I reckon, it's almost got the Mona Lisa quality. Well, I guess these eyes are following you around the room because they are spying. The article goes on. Producer Matt Gordon and his team quickly realized that they needed to be incredibly detailed in creating their robots in order to trick the gorillas into believing they were real. Eye communication is very important amongst gorillas, Gordon said. You'll see it in footage in the first episode. The gorillas came straight over to our spy gorilla and peered right into its eyes. See, the gorillas would have done exactly what we would have done.
Yeah, that's true.
The eyes caught us.
Drawn straight to the... Yeah. It almost makes me question if I myself could be the missing link.
Maybe we're the missing link.
Could be, yeah.
What are the odds of that? Gordon goes on to say, so we made sure that the gorilla had the most amount of detail put into the face. The crew also had to create a robotic gorilla that didn't challenge the dominant male in the group that it was observing. We wanted to make sure that we were not being threatening, so we averted the gaze of our spy gorilla. By making their furry secret agent appear more submissive than dominant, the crew managed to convince the dominant male ape to accept the robot and signal to its troop that it was safe for them to approach the stranger. Finally, before releasing the robot into the densely forested Ugandan sanctuary, the crew also had to be sure that it smelled like the other gorillas. Gordon said, "We sometimes have to anoint them in feces to allow them to be accepted into the group."
Hence the solemn look on the gorillas.
Yeah, that's right. Gordon said, "It's not the most pleasant of jobs." All right. I mean, Gordon, I feel like doth protest too much there a bit.
So wait, is this gorilla, it's like acting like a regular, it's got all the movements? And is it lifelike?
It seems to be somewhat lifelike. Well, it's animatronic, right?
To be the real feat of this whole, like they're just doing it to make a documentary.
Yeah, that's right. Forget about the footage. Yes. Turn that camera back on. Film it in front of a mirror. Burying the best story here. Scientists had already discovered in 2016 that gorillas sing to themselves while eating. It's amazing that's such a recent discovery. Only 6 years ago.
They only just learnt the lyrics, I think.
That's right. They're like, what are they doing there? Hundreds of years we've seen them humming. We didn't realise they're actually singing. That data was entirely audio-based, so the high-definition footage that Gordon and his crew managed to capture was a first. The 2016 study also showed that older gorillas sing at dinner more often than younger ones, and that male gorillas sing more often than female ones.
They didn't make any mention. They sent him in with... They wanted to make the cameras invisible.
Yeah.
So made the cameras invisible, but he's just holding a microphone record the audio.
Yeah, one of the animatronic gorilla's fists is holding a mic.
Just a giant. It's got a boom.
And his other... he's holding a big boom microphone over his shoulders. And he's just sort of winking at him. Yeah. It's all good. Don't worry. I'm
only
one of you.
Only half the footage. It's not really... He keeps winking. There's a camera in there, man. What are you...
Apparently, the gorillas were also found to be more likely to sing while eating plants and seeds rather than insects, which makes sense. You know, you sing when you're happy,
yeah,
and you're happy when you're eating plants and seeds, not insects. Who's happy eating insects?
Especially when you're covered in feces.
Feces.
I thought you were going to move on there, and I was pretty happy.
Well, you know, I think the listeners needed it to be just noted. A little bit, you know, that's for them. This latest footage expands on the 2016 study and provides evidence that gorillas are extremely gassy and are almost constantly farting during dinner. These are scientists, yeah. Right? Documentary makers. And this is what they've come out with.
Yeah.
The footage also showed that the gorillas often screamed a chorus of appreciation while eating. How do they know it's appreciation?
Yeah, and also they're singing.
Yeah.
What are they... I mean, they're doing a lot while they're eating. All of this so far has been things they do while they eat.
Yes.
They sing.
It's all about, yeah.
They fart.
Yes.
They chorus.
That's right.
Appreciation.
They get a lot done.
Yeah.
Around the dinner table.
Also, they're eating.
Yeah. Yeah. That feels like that's a... I guess that...
It's a long day for a gorilla.
Yeah.
Like, I reckon spread out some of the activity.
Yeah. Have a post-dinner sing.
Yes.
You know? The animatronic ape was also designed to capably beat its chest in order to engage with other apes. This resulted in a rather endearing moment of playtime between the robot and a baby gorilla that the crew miraculously captured. Gordon said, "We had this wonderful magical moment where there was this lovely to and fro between our spy gorilla and the baby gorilla. A young gorilla came over and did the natural thing for him, which was to beat its chest. For a baby gorilla, that means I want to play. And if our gorilla was lifeless, not moving, I think the gorilla would have lost interest. But our spy gorilla was able to beat its chest too." He added, "That would be difficult to see with traditional filming techniques." You reckon? Like a normal camera isn't able to beat its chest. That almost goes without saying. This series hasn't limited itself to apes. However, the four-part production will go undercover as over 50 animatronic creatures, including a hummingbird, Komodo dragon, king penguin, pygmy elephant, koala, seal, polar bear, and quokka. A few Aussie ones in there.
Yeah.
And yeah, this is a PBS series that aired last year called Spy in the Wild 2.
Quokka's famously as well known for approaching anything.
Yeah, that's right.
Not being afraid of anything.
They're just happy.
You could send in like a Canon DRX.
Like it'd be interesting if, yeah, that's right. Maybe this will capture that the darker side. Quokkas are actually real assholes. But you'd never know it because they're always putting on a show for humans.
True.
But if just a quokka camera was in there, yeah, I'd be like, just another quokka. I'm not putting on a show. I'm not smiling for this
bitching
guy.
Bitching about the humans. When
yeah. We do our best.
Throw me any crumbs.
Yeah. Just want to get a crumb. Where are they from? Where are quokkas from again?
Rottnest Island.
That's right. Yeah, so that's the article, mate. It feels like we really should watch that show at some point.
Yeah, I would love to see some farts.
I wonder if maybe while you're telling a story, I'll do a quick Google, see if it's available in Australia.
Okay, if you don't
want
to listen to my story. No,
you just talk. This is the problem when you don't edit a show. We can't have any flat spots.
True, it's got to keep... Well, my story, I don't have an article for it, but I'm wondering if I should.
Well, if you want to, feel free to...
I could just tell the story.
But know the story.
Yeah, I know the story. So, and I'm interested to know for any of the Australian listeners who aren't based in New South Wales, whether this story is familiar. So, when I mentioned it the other day to you, Matt, you were like, yeah, I vaguely remember it.
Yes.
But you have to cast your mind back to March 2020.
I also couldn't fully guarantee that we haven't talked about it on this show. But, okay. I mean, that's true of... any story, right. But I can't guarantee that we haven't talked about this animatronic gorilla either.
So it's pre-COVID, but only just on the cusp of COVID, really. And I know that because I have a personal connection to the story, and that it was the last gig I did before the world changed. Comedy changed. That was tonight.
No, tonight. You're talking about September 11th. That's when those two towers came down, everything changed. Yeah. Is that what you mean? So this is a pretty old story.
No, I'm talking about March 2020, the second time the world changed.
Oh, right. Yeah, the COVID. Yeah, when COVID came down.
So
it's sort of our generation's 9/11.
It is our generation's 9/11. And 9/11 is also our generation's 9/11.
That's right. We've our generations have had a lot of 9/11s.
Fishies.
Fishies. You sound like Schmeagle saying, talking about shit.
Yes.
My fishies.
So,
I really hope the mics are picking up these low flying planes at you.
It's a hazard of living under the flight path, as you can't record a podcast like everyone else. So in Sydney, in March 2020, on one fateful night, basically the week before everything went into lockdown for the first time, there was a procedure going on at the RPA, and it was scheduled at the Royal Prince Albert or Alfred, whatever the hospital is there.
Okay.
There was a vasectomy scheduled, and it didn't go as planned because the patient didn't show up for the vasectomy.
This is a primates related story?
It is a primates related story, which is a beautiful twist. But essentially, there's a couple of baboons that were on their way. They were in a van. They were on their way to the RPA. A male baboon. He had two female baboons as partners with him. And the male, it was the male. Not to spoilers, it was the male who was scheduled for the vasectomy.
Vasectomy, okay. Well, we don't. I mean, a lot of our listeners aren't amateur primatologists like you and I, so they might not know that it is the male
primate
baboons or primates who get the vasectomies. Yeah. Yes,
correct. A link to our own species there.
Yeah, a missing link, if you like.
Yeah.
Or not yet missing.
Soon to be missing. But so the baboons were on their way. They're in a van.
Is that what you call the incision?
Yes.
We're about to make that link missing in your ball bag or wherever it is. I'm not a doctor, I should say. I should put that out. I am an amateur primatologist. I'm not a qualified doctor.
No.
So I don't know where the vasectomy takes place, but I imagine it's in the ball sack region.
Yeah.
If not in the bag itself, certainly in the vicinity. Is that where they get the name vasectomy? Because it's in the vicinity of the ball bag?
Yeah, that is, I think.
Wow. I never knew that. Maybe I am a doctor.
So the baboons were scheduled to be at this appointment. They never showed up for the appointment. Why? Because male baboon presumably got cold feet.
Okay.
And the reason there were two female baboons there with him is because whoever was in charge of scheduling the appointment was like, we got to relax him.
Right.
The only way that we're going to be able to transport him in the van is if we have the two females with him to distract him.
Okay.
Which I think makes more sense. The first time I read it, I thought he'd ask them to come along.
Oh, okay.
Because he's like, hey, I'm going to have a vasectomy.
Yeah, I want to bring some
I want to get fucking straight after this is done.
Oh, okay. Really?
No one had told him there's got to be 4 weeks at least.
There's a cooling off period,
yes,
surely.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
There's got to be some sort of healing. But what happened was the baboons broke out of the van that was transporting them. I think it was New South Wales Health who were in charge of these baboons. They've been doing experiments on the baboons, and this male guy baboon had been he'd been breeding too much.
Oh,
he'd been getting hot and heavy.
So obviously not an endangered species. Otherwise, you would think that they would see this as a real boon for the baboon breeding industry.
No, yeah, but New South Wales Health were in charge of a certain number of baboons, and they had them for experiments, but it was getting out of control.
Oh, okay. So this is a grim stuff. This is baboons getting experimented on.
It is a bit grim.
I was thinking, for some reason, I'm thinking these are baboons living in a beautiful, like a beautiful zoo enclosure or something.
Yeah, I wish that they were zoo baboons, but some of them were bred in captivity, I guess, through New South Wales Health.
That's like that. You could say that about humans, couldn't you? We're all bred into the bloody rat race, captivity, you know, we're all just, you know, eat, sleep, work, repeat. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I just think, much like those baboons, we're also scheduled for a vasectomy.
We are. To get the link removed from the ball sack.
In the vicinity of. Yeah.
And so the baboons, they broke out of the van before it got to the RPA hospital, which is in Camperdown in Sydney. And it was reported that they were basically on the loose for a good couple of hours running around Newtown and Camperdown in Sydney's sort of inner west.
For people who don't know Sydney well, like me, what is that? Is that a good area to be out and about? Just, you know, pre-vasectomy?
Yeah, it's a great area.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people come to Sydney. King Street, quite a famous street through Newtown in Sydney. And that would be a lot of people would come from on their weekend. You know, they might grow up around Campbelltown or other parts of Western Sydney. It would be the trek, you know, to come in and either King's Cross or King Street in Newtown. That's where you've spent and your Saturday nights.
So the baboons knew what they were doing.
I think so.
Yeah.
But I was at a comedy gig this night, and I remember very distinctly the producer of the comedy gig sat all the comedians down, and she was like, hey, just so you know, there's baboons Which you don't normally get a pep talk before, as you know, as a stand-up comedian. It's quite rare. Already the alarm bells are sort of like...
It's rare you get a baboon-related pep talk. Yeah. Nearly so, never happens.
There's baboons around and she's like,
by the way, their bits are not missing yet. No. The link is not missing.
The link is still there.
So just be wary.
But just keep an eye out.
There could this be baboon bones.
This baboon bones. Exactly. Yeah. That's, yeah, so we were, it was a bit, there was an expectation that these baboons might just walk past the gig at any stage. It was a bit of an air of excitement.
Do you think a baboon would be a bad audience member for a comedy gig?
I think so, because I don't have a lot of relatable material for a baboon.
Okay, well, I got a bit. I feel like that I wouldn't mind a few baboons.
They would probably
crowd.
Enjoy your show, yeah. They might even be listeners to this podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
If you're listening right now, I hope the procedure went well.
Yeah, shout out to you.
Shout out to you.
Do we know their names?
We don't.
Because they're test baboons. They're probably called like X34 or something, you know, like something really horrible.
Oh, cool. That's
X34 is a cool
Elon
name.
Elon Musk would think that's a pretty cool
that's
name.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, and he sort of is an arbiter of cool, I think.
In today's world, I think yeah. So because it was New South Wales Health, I don't know if you know Brad Hazzard.
Not personally, but I know he's like the health minister in the great state of New South Wales.
He's the health minister, and for the last 2 years, through the lockdowns and pandemic stuff, there was a period where it was a press conference every day to report on the numbers that were going on during COVID, and he was stood at the back of the press conference every day, very grumpy man.
Right.
Would you, yeah, if you, what you don't know him personally, but what do you know? What would you say? How would you describe?
All I know of him is that, yeah, during lockdowns, he was, when the New South Wales press conference came on, the daily COVID press conference, he'd be standing there and I can't remember anything he said, but he'd stand on the side.
He was always there and he was always a bit of a scowl on his face, don't you think?
You could see that even under the mask.
Yeah. He was a guy who didn't really even want to wear the mask, at first. But he's the minister as well. He wasn't like actually the medical officer or anything.
Yeah,
it all seemed like a big inconvenience to him.
Yeah, you would be shattered. I got the cushy health gig.
Well.
Oh, great, a pandemic. I thought I was just going to have to deal with...
That's the beauty of this story, Matt.
Hospital issues and
that's
clearly not a cushy gig, or so. But it would if you don't like hard work, you would be pretty shattered.
You would
when
be
a pandemic.
Shattered.
I mean, only for that reason.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'd be like, oh, great, pandemic, bit of fun, worldwide, fantastic. We're all in it.
We're
together.
We're all in this together.
I love being in things together.
But no, he hated it. And I am like you, Matt. I would have thought that he'd be very excited and sort of thrilled at the opportunity.
He'd
to
be like, it's, you know,
join up with all the other health ministers.
Treasurer and these are sort of the Attorney General or whatever. These are kind of the...
They get the spotlight.
They're the sexy ministry portfolios, but...
Health,
so, you know, it's only a rung down, but it is a rung down.
Yeah, you're often in the shadows doing tests on baboons.
Yes, that's right. You're doing all your press conferences, you're wearing a lab coat normally, and you're saying, hey, it looks like we've made a great breakthrough here.
Yeah.
And you don't understand what they're talking about. But you're putting in the FaceTime because one day you think you might be treasurer or maybe even premier.
Exactly. Health minister is a stepping stone.
Yeah. Which it shouldn't be. I mean, for me, I think people should be more passionate about their health portfolio. It's
health
pretty
comes
important.
First. My grandfather always said.
Health comes first. It's very hard to, you know, treasure anything.
No.
Or attorney general anything if you're not healthy.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So I think Brad should take a fucking good look at himself. Sorry. Sorry, that was a bit much.
No, I don't think it was.
I haven't met him and I'm on first name basis now with him. Bradley, if you're listening, take a freaking good hard look at yourself, mate. Hey, maybe you should be, before you're the minister for you, whatever your dream ministry is, maybe you should be the minister, have a good hard look at yourself in the ministry of mirrors. You know what I mean? Go sit in the ministry of mirrors, have a sit in that cabinet and have a fucking good hard look at yourself.
Okay.
Buddy, old pal.
You're listening to 3AW. Steve Price here.
Yeah, you reckon
Steve Price would be a shock jockey there.
Do you think he'd be pretty anti-Hazard?
No, but I think he would deliver whatever he was anti in a very similar way.
Sort of way, yeah.
The tone. But so Brad Hazard, and my favourite part of the baboon breaking out of the thing, RPA story, is Brad Hazard, because he's the health minister, and it's New South Wales Health doing the tests on these baboons. They're the ones doing this procedure to get the vasectomy. Brad Hazard, you can see this on, I think you can find it on YouTube. He's like in, everyone thought it was very funny when this baboons broke out. Twitter went crazy. Everyone was tweeting about it. Even the police force in New South Wales tweeted.
Yes.
They tweeted, "This is not a man drill."
Oh, God.
So everyone was having a great old time. And this is the innocence that was March 2020.
Mm.
No one knew what was about to happen.
No.
To me, the signs are obvious. When you have baboons that are starting to break out of the hospital.
Yeah,
and
that's
stuff,
the start of every pandemic film.
Exactly.
That is wild.
Could
that
not be more
the timing
obvious.
Of that is pretty amazing.
But Brad Hazard, you see him in the parliament, he's got a big old smirk on his face, and he's addressing parliament, as you say, in one of the highest offices in the state, New South Wales. Yeah, it's not as sexy as the attorney general.
No.
It's not as sexy as the treasurer.
No. Or a very sexy job.
No.
Treasurer of the state of New South Wales.
But it carries responsibility, as we found out over the next 2 years.
Mm.
But he's there. He's a bit taking the piss, a big smirk on his face, talking about the baboons. He's saying everything's going to be okay. We'll get the baboons soon. It's fine. And then I think this must have been playing through his memory every day for the next 2 years when he was at those press conferences, just thinking, I used to have the best fucking job in the world.
I used to be the minister for baboons. I wonder what he thinks about monkeypox. That's sort of bringing the two worlds together.
True, but he resents it by this point, I would say.
Yeah.
Just as a side note, the baboons never made it to the gig where I was performing. And in hindsight, I think it's crazy to think that they're not going to go to comedy.
No.
This baboon fucks as well.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
If it's anything, it's going to the clubs.
Yeah, holy moly.
Not the comedy clubs. It's going to the...
Most people's first night out in Newtown, they're not going to watch comedy. No. That's all I'm saying.
And they'll go to the mini golf bar.
Yeah. Where
holy moly.
Have a few tequilas.
I've never been a holy moly.
Really?
Yeah, it feels like it could be a great time.
Have a round of golf.
Yeah, I'm up for it. Let's do it.
That's how we golf in Sydney.
And that was your last gig pre-COVID.
Yeah, that was it. The world changed after that, and I think a lot of people have forgotten about the baboon story. And yes, it's because COVID.
Cast a big shadow, COVID.
It's cast a big shadow. But I'm like, you're looking...
You gave me COVID.
Cast a very big shadow.
Yeah. I don't know if you know that about you.
If I know it or if the listeners know.
The listeners probably don't know it.
No.
Someone gave me my second COVID.
Yes.
It's funny. It's very rare you know where you get it from.
I don't even know where I got it from.
That's right. I don't think nearly no one would know where they get it from. And I mean, I couldn't prove that you gave it to me, but...
Yeah.
It feels most likely.
No, I'm glad everyone is aware of that. And the baboons, yeah.
That was your first COVID as well. It wasn't even special for me, to be honest. Second COVID.
But it was my first COVID and it was special. And that's why I wanted to share it with
was,
you.
It meant a lot that you thought that I was worthy of you sharing COVID with.
I didn't share it with many people.
No.
Not even my parents.
Just that whole carload. Because anyway, whatever. We went onto a shoot in country Victoria. Four of us in a car.
Sometimes I wonder if I shared it with Shepparton.
That's true. Yeah, I wonder. I wonder if maybe they shared it.
They might have shared it.
Maybe they shared it with us.
Yeah.
Jeez. So many questions left unanswered. My last gig before COVID was... not quite as hectic, but it was similarly odd. It was up in Brisbane for the comedy festival there, and it was just I'd finished my show just before that, and I was invited on to do this sort of lineup show that was improvisers and stand-ups.
Baboons?
Imagine. No, this is up in Brisbane. The baboons didn't make it up there. I think they treat their baboons better in Brisbane. They're not testing them like the sickos in Sydney. And it was me and the other guy on the lineup was a Kevin Rudd impersonator.
Oh.
So this is in 2020. Yeah, Kevin Rudd hadn't been in power for... He was an oldest Jonas Australian Holt. Prime Minister.
Was it Jonas Holt?
Jonas Holt?
Sydney comedian Jonas Holt?
Maybe. I'm not sure. I can't remember. Very nice guy. But I'm like, the whole gig felt surreal. And then the next day, all shows were cancelled. And I'm like, was it us? Did we somehow do this with this really odd-vibed gig? Where I was, it was, yeah. I just remember it feeling surreal the whole time.
Yeah.
And someone in the audience had come, I had to do like a short set. And someone, I'm like, I don't know what material. I'm like, anyone see my show tonight? And someone's like, yeah. I said, what bit should I do from the show? And she yelled out the punchline to one of the bits. And I'm like, well, it's going to be hard to do that one now. You've started at the end there. And I never recovered. So I was pretty happy when COVID hit, to be honest. I get to have a break from this for a while.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I've just found a little clip of the gorilla, animatronic gorilla.
Oh, great.
It's just a minute and a half. So maybe we can watch and do a brief commentary
those
here.
Those eyes.
Look at those eyes. So tell us what you're seeing here, Saran. Oh, yeah. Look at it. It's quite robotic, but, you know, pretty...
It's hard to know what sort of frame rate gorillas look at, though, yeah, with their eyes. Maybe it's more smooth to a gorilla's frame rate.
Oh, they are great shots it's getting. But I must say, the shots of the robot are more mesmerizing.
And cut back to the robot. A real gorilla's eyes are nowhere near as human.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, because it's the Mona. Let's see if we can pick up any of the singing here or farting. Man, I love those bird sounds. They don't only sing for their supper. Oh, here we go. There's the farts. It sounds like a chainsaw. Semi-permanent state of flatulence.
I have a question.
Yeah, okay. What do you got?
I mean, they have a lot of footage of the animatronic.
Yeah. What's that camera? I'm guessing they got those in post. They're like, all right, we're going to have to get some cutaways of the camera.
They've taken, yeah.
Yeah, or noddies or whatever they call them.
Yeah.
We're going to need to get some noddies of the camera now. That's
so
funny.
So they've got a semi-state of flatulence.
Yeah, they live in a permanent semi-state of flatulence. And also interesting there that...
So it's a high-fiber diet.
That's right, yeah. So it's like a state-of-the-art robot that can see and hear. Can it smell? Because
yeah.
I think that would be cruel if they added in
it's
some
already
sort of
covered in feces.
That's true.
But maybe that would be a brilliant twist if the other gorillas were able to detect that it's not like them.
Yeah.
Because it's not in a zero state of flatulence.
Yeah, that's right. They're going, what is this thing doing?
How are you eating all this grass?
Yeah, it's actually quite rude not to fart at the dinner table. A gentleman never doesn't fart. What?
I feel like all the best bits of the gorilla, that documentary, were summed up in that one scene.
Yeah.
We got it. We got the eating, we got the singing, and we got the farts.
Yeah, and it was beautiful footage.
Yes.
And I love that, just that sort of, what do you call that, like the noise bed or whatever of the forest.
Yeah, that's
beautiful. Amazing.
The birds.
Love it. Yeah, all right. Well, maybe we'll save the Guardian article for next time. Saran, what
sure
do you think?
That sounds good.
Because I think, you know, I don't think people could take any more.
There's been a lot of prime mate.
We're easing our way back into the monkey house here.
Beautiful.
Maybe while I'm up, I'm here for another week. So maybe we could do a part two during the week.
We could do a part two.
Do you think you could find another story?
I'll have a look.
If you find another story, I'll find a guardian one. Maybe we'll do another episode next week.
That sounds great.
Awesome. But before we go, normally, I'm just going back through an old sheet, seeing how this show even works. I'll normally get the guests to give normally most episodes are about a movie or a TV show, and then we'd all give it a banana score. How many bananas are in the bunch? The more bananas, the better. Or however you want to interpret that. And then also, how ripe are those bananas? Maybe pick one of your... Maybe you can give my story a banana score and I'll give yours one.
Okay, great.
So how many bananas in the bunch?
I'm intrigued by this animatronic gorilla.
Yeah.
And if there was a documentary, as you sort of suggested there should be, of the actual robot, I'd give you the full allotment of bananas in the bunch.
What is a full bunch for you? If you're going to the shops, what is your full bunch?
Well, when I go down to the shops, I like to get four bananas at a time.
Yep.
And often that means I'm pulling off two.
You might be breaking a couple off. Yeah.
So I think a bunch is six.
Okay.
So I'm going to give your story five bananas.
Five bananas. And how ripe are they? It's such a weird... I can't remember. I don't think it ever made any sense, and maybe that was the joke. But now I don't even remember the joke. So
I'm going to say they're ripe. The first day you bring them home, you're biting into it and you're a bit like, I should have waited 2 days. Yeah. But by the end, by the fifth day, that banana's perfect.
Right. Well, for your story...
Assuming a banana a day.
Yeah, I think I'm a more of a banana a day kind of guy.
Yeah,
I'm gonna. I loved your story, and my full bunch is seven. I get a week's worth of bananas, but the only thing I'm gonna take two bananas off because it really made me feel sad knowing that they were experimented on baboons.
Yes, that's not my fault. But
I'm talking about the story, not your telling of it. Your telling of the story. Yes. That was seven out of seven bananas every day of the week.
It is sad. Yeah, definitely.
I'm going to say five bananas.
I think Twitter had that realization as well. Twitter was making all these jokes about it.
And then you realize,
and then they were like, hang on a minute, why are they going for...
Yeah, all of a sudden, don't you feel like you want to find the baboons and help get them somewhere
free
else?
Free them, yeah. Because it is like, well, this baboon's gone for a vasectomy.
Mm.
Like, I didn't even know they had private health.
You know? Yeah, it's pretty grim. I mean, even five might be overdoing it. Let me take another two bananas off because I'm feeling sadder the more we talk about it. Let's do three bananas and they're still a bit green.
Okay.
But there's a future there.
Is there any consequence to this?
No.
No, great.
But I believe into the future, we're going to stop this fucking bullshit. Surely we're not experimenting on baboons for much longer.
I hope so, man.
What is going on there? That is so grim to think about. Another thing...
You know what we could do?
Yeah.
We get a robot gorilla.
Okay.
We send it in...
Undercover.
...to New South Wales Health.
Yeah.
And we film the whole thing.
Yeah. We break this case wide open.
Yeah.
Imagine. I reckon we could. I reckon we could blow this up.
We could do it. I don't know if you could go with the... covering it in feces. You might have to... What scent do you think you'd have to cover it in to get it to pass by New South Wales Health?
Oh, yeah. It would probably like a...
A Dior.
Yeah, I figure they're probably all wealthy doctors and stuff. Maybe a scotch. Smother it in scotch.
And cigar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty sad. I'd love to somehow... I mean, even just talking about it, hopefully people go, what the hell? I can't believe this is still going on. And
yes.
That's the way things stop like that, is because people become aware of it and go, holy shit, what are we doing? It's 2022. What the hell? Yeah, hopefully someone important's listening and they'll tell
more people. I mean, all this is obviously have some sort of, penchant for primates.
Yeah, a penchant. Fantastic word and well used.
Thank you.
Another thing I like to do on the show, and I'll have in the show notes, there'll be a link. If any listeners have a question or a fact about Primates, the podcast, you know, you might want to ask about the mechanics of this show or anything like that, or anything about Primates in general. If you've got any questions for future guests, click on the link below and yeah, ask away or give us some facts. If you've got some great monkey facts, that would also be awesome. There's also a link if you've got any thoughts on a good future topic. When I get back to Melbourne, Evan, the second banana of the show, and I are going to work our way through Umbrella Academy Season 3. So that's coming up soon. But if there's a bunch of other great movies we haven't got through yet. So if anyone's got any suggestions for those, please click on the other link. So there'll be two links in the show notes there. But yeah, I put the shout out to the Patreons earlier today to see if they had any questions or facts or anything. And I've got a few people writing in, including Julian Wren, who wrote, "My question is..." Maybe this one can go to you, Saran. Which primate, besides humans, would look best in a tuxedo, provided the tuxedo was comfortable and the primate was into it? I like that stipulation at the end there. Fantastic work there, Julian. What do you reckon? I mean, the obvious is Hit Monkey, who's a Marvel character who wears a suit and he goes around, you know, as he's a hitman monkey.
Yeah. What type of monkey is he?
I think he's a macaque. He's a Japanese macaque. He was hanging out in one of the hot springs in Japan when he saw a hitman and he sort of studied his ways and became a hit monkey.
Yep. Macaque sounds a bit like a way you would describe a very generic stand-up comedian.
Yeah, he's a macaque.
He's a bit macaque.
A Scottish generic stand-up comedian.
No, but it's a bit like McDonald's, you know? It's like macaque.
McMansion, like,
macaque. He's a bit of a macaque.
Yeah, just another... mainstream,
yeah,
no nutrition,
yeah, junk food.
But honestly, their hotcakes are great.
No, exactly.
Or
if
are
I'm,
they?
If I'm going to the airport, I'm getting a serve of macaque.
Bit of a guilty treat, but should I? Probably not.
Yeah,
you know,
all day breakfast.
Macaque. That's what macaque says to you. Do you have an answer for this?
Yeah, I reckon you know who would look good in a tuxedo, and I hope we'll see it very soon, because sometimes when you're in the film industry, you get invited to an awards night.
Yeah.
And there's someone in the film industry who I think is very deserving of an award. And I think that is the robot gorilla.
Oh, yeah. Great point.
I think they should be rocking up
at the Emmys or whatever.
The BAFTAs.
Golden Globes. Yeah. Could be whatever you like.
Full sweep. Maybe they'll
Logies.
Get invited to all of them.
Yeah.
The actors.
Oh, imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, best international documentary series or something. That's possibly
Get the robot gorilla into it. Let's get those eyes a little less solemn. Give them something to smile about.
Yeah. That's a great point. Thank you so much, Serna. Beautiful answer.
Thank you.
This next one comes... I haven't read any of these till I read them out. Okay. So some, hopefully they're all worth reading out. This next one comes from Lewis, writing, "Nothing worthwhile to say, but I want to bring up the snub-nosed monkey."
Did you just start this by saying, hopefully is this worth reading out?
Hopefully this is worthwhile. So I think Lewis probably should believe in himself more, because the snub-nosed monkey is well worth bringing up. Lewis writes, "They're a fascinating breed, and there's so little research that's been done on them. Just blows my mind, really." You familiar with the snub nose?
No, I've been spending all my time with the more mainstream monkeys, like the macaque.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the snub nose monkey is quite a wild-looking monkey. We've talked about him in the past, I believe, because they don't really have a nose. So when it rains, I believe, if I'm thinking correctly, these ones will sneeze and it'll...
I have seen these. Yeah, yeah.
They're quite a beautiful and
so they're
unique
called snub nose because they...
Yeah, they've had their noses snubbed off, I guess.
They snubbed it.
Yeah, they snubbed...
God was like, "You want this? You want this bit?"
And they're like, "Nah.
I'll take two of the eyes, but the nose? Nah.
You can keep those noses."
Good luck sneezing.
great point, Lewis. Always happy to have the snub nose brought up. Paul Meller writes... "I guess the question on everyone's lips is, did you actually solve the case of the ape titty slide, or are there some leads that you and the boys need to chase down? You most definitely blew the case wide open. Is there a grand finale in the works?" Paul, great question. So we did a four-part series about this ape titty slide, Saran. It was a big... there was a picture that kind of went a bit viral online. It was a big ape statue with slides coming out where its nipples should have been.
Okay, yep.
And we did it. We thought it'd be one fun to do one episode on, but we kept blowing the case wide open. It ended up being four, but we now have a man on the ground. A listener is going out to visit. We've already had one listener visit one somewhere in North America, but we've got another listener who's going out to a different one.
Yeah, wow.
When he reports back, I believe, Paul, that we're going to get the boys back together and we're going to blow this case even further wide open. So I'm hoping that's going to happen in the next little while, Paul. But yeah, that does come down to, and I hate to put all the pressure, I think it was Stephen, I think it was his name, contacted us via Twitter, but yeah, hopefully we get more on that for you soon, Paul. Ola McGrath writes, more a question about you and the latest film with a primate in popular culture. Have you seen Nope, and what did you think? I've heard of Nope.
I think that's out of the Jordan Peele film.
Oh, great. Well, there you go. Well, I mean, that's a great suggestion for a future episode.
Matt, have I got news for you? We're staying in Leica at the moment. Well, there's Larry making an appearance. Just around, literally around the corner from where I live.
Yes.
$10 on a Monday, you go to the Palace Cinemas.
They're playing Nope.
You could go see. I'm pretty sure it'll be showing right now.
Maybe I could go see it. Maybe we could go see Nope.
Maybe.
And maybe that, you know.
$10 Mondays.
Wow. All right. Look, that's and a great idea, Ola.
You can answer Ola's question.
Great suggestion for an episode. Because I would be keen to see. I loved his first film. I still haven't seen his second film, but I wouldn't need to see the second one before I see Nope. They're not connected at all.
Oh, I wish you had.
Nope. Thank you very much for that, Ola. What else have we got here? Sean from Chicago writes, this has been a frequent debate between my friends. Hypothetically, you have to choose between two curses. Either love a hypothetical. She got a new bit about hypotheticals in our fringe show I was doing. So this could be new.
This is right up your
material,
alley.
Ready to go. Yeah, yeah. This could be a gift. Either you must have a sword fight every year with a chimp. It is random and your only weapon is a sword. Or every time you get in the car, you must fight a chicken with your hands in the car. While fighting the chicken is definitely easier, and I'd rather not kill a fellow primate, I drive far too much to make the chicken scenario preferred. I'd rather have an honourable duel than kill far too many chickens to count. I love that Sean has answered his own question there. That's something that I always encourage our listeners to do.
It's great to present someone with a hypothetical, but then also provide an answer.
Yes. Have you...
This is not actually hypothetical at all.
No, that is something Sean is dealing with every day. I think I'd choose the chicken thing and have it as a perfect excuse not to drive anymore. I know that feels, is that a cop out? But I feel like I could get away with public transport. Get a bike. I've been meaning to buy a bike for a while. I went to a bike shop during one of the lockdowns, and the shop was out of bikes. They'd sold out of bikes.
Yeah. They were very popular.
They got, like in the lockdowns in Melbourne, the bike shops just, got very popular.
A lot of rescue bikes at the moment.
Do you have a quick answer for that one? We've got about four more to get through here.
I reckon I'm going to take the sword fight with the chimpanzee.
Yeah, just the one. You'll keep your driving rights and just once, because you've got to beat that chimp as well. And they're freaking strong.
Well, I just don't like the idea of, I feel like you've yielded your car to a chicken.
Yes.
And I would hate to be on the bus or cycling and then just sort of wheel past a car with a chicken driving.
Chicken side eyes you. Yeah.
That used to be my car.
How is it reaching the pedals? Yeah, no, okay, good point.
Yeah, so
you and
I'll
Sean
take a sword to a chimpanzee.
So that's 2-1.
Yeah.
Sword fight with a chimp.
It's an honourable way to go as well.
It's a much more honourable way to go, that's true. The next one comes from Adam Van Eyck from Sydney. Ooh. Bloody hell, that's where we are right now.
That's where we are right now.
And Adam's written a very short message, this one. My uncle is an ape. For a second there, I had no idea what he meant, but I've got a funny feeling he was at one of our shows recently.
Oh.
Because I said my uncle was a dog
in
one of the shows?
Oh, yeah.
Do you reckon that's a reference to that?
That's great. So, yeah, because he's from Sydney. He was at our show probably... yesterday.
That's otherwise, that's a wild coincidence. Oh, that was the dud of the three shows as well. Sorry, Adam.
I had fun. I thought it was a good show.
Yeah. I felt weird.
Adam's the only one who knows that at the start when I said we had three shows, they all sold out.
Yeah, he knows the truth. Oh, that was pretty full last night. Rachel, I love this when I get pronunciation tips because I'm so bad at pronouncing names.
Edwards.
So Rachel Gerath. No, but it's Rachel writes pronounce Gerath, not Gerath, with capitalized J-E-R.
Uh-huh.
So would you say Gerath?
Gerath.
Gerath.
No, Gerath.
Gerath. Yeah, yeah. I reckon it's true. Rachel Gerath. Gerath.
Gerath.
Gerath.
Gerath.
I reckon that's it. Rachel. Rachel's from Beeston in Nottingham in the UK. Oh. Rachel writes, I live very near to a stately home called Wallerton Hall in Nottingham. Side bonus fact. It was used as Wayne Manor for the Christian Bale Batman film. So that's fun. And it is now a museum / exhibition. It started... it's a standard school trip kind of place. I bet everyone in the area has been there on a school trip at least once. The natural history part of the museum's most famous resident is a taxidermied gorilla called George from the 1800s. If you do a quick image search for George the Gorilla, Wallerton Hall, you will see that it has a rather prominent parts. let's see what that means quickly before I finish the message here. Saren, what do you reckon?
Well, I like the idea that this gorilla from the 1800s has got the name George.
Yeah, so we've got it. Is it ahead of the game?
Well, I feel like that... Was it King George at that era?
Oh, yeah.
But it seems like that would...
There you go.
Sort of blasphemous. Oh, he does... Yeah. He's got a prominent part.
Yeah, snub-nosed, almost.
But something... It's he not about definitely size, hasn't snubbed. He hasn't snubbed the balls there.
No.
There's a ball sack there.
Yeah, in the vicinity.
And... and he has not snubbed that.
No, there's no snubbing going on there, and we don't want to snub George either. Rachel finally says, after our school trips, there was always the inevitable report writing, and it became well known that the challenge is who could draw the gorilla dick the biggest without getting into trouble. Oh, just finding that sweet spot. That would be a great challenge.
Too big.
It's sort of like Price is Right rules.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the biggest without going over. No, closest without going over. Yeah. Oh,
too small, and you barely even noticeable.
That's right.
But
Thank you very much to Rachel. Next one comes from Michaela from Awabakal Country in New South Wales.
Wow.
Do you know the pronunciation there?
I don't. I'm sorry.
And Michaela writes, hey, mates. I want to tell you about a primate who lives rent-free in my head and has done for half my life.
Wait, she's charging rent in her head?
No, well, not for this primate.
Yeah, but...
anyone else. Yeah. Warning, this story is a bit gross. Okay, let's see. It's always hard to know where you find out the where lines. People's line is.
Yeah.
My line is in a different spot depending on the day, really. True. Michaela goes on.
We've just seen... George the Gorilla's balls.
Yeah.
So.
And I found that very pleasant. You know, as in not gross. I shouldn't make it sound too positive. I just mean I didn't find it at all gross or anything like that. Anyway, so Michaela continues, I visited Taronga Zoo in Sydney as a teenager and saw the orangutans. There was one separated from the others. I'm not sure why. I was beginning to feel sorry for this guy or gal until this happened. They sort of indicated to us humans watching that they were hungry, pointing to their mouth. Obviously, we couldn't offer anything, so they decided to take matters into their own paws. The ape then pooped into their own hand and ate it right in front of our eyes. I've never seen something so gross, but so hard to look away from. Anyway, great to hear the Potter's back. Looking forward to the season 3 recap of Umbrella Academy. Chimp you later. Chimp you later too, Michaela.
Michaela, I think in this economy, you should be charging rent for that.
Yeah, ideally, I would be upping the rent.
I would be, yeah.
In an ideal world, I'd be upping it so much that you want the rent for a job like that to be so high that you're happy for them to still be in there.
Exactly.
The thought of them makes you think of the money you're making.
Yes.
Otherwise, I really don't think I would be keeping that memory in there at all. That is awful. It feels like I wouldn't have stopped feeling sorry for that orangutan, though. I would have continued to feel sorry for it, maybe even more so.
Yeah.
How hungry do you have to be to resort to that? I would say quite hungry.
Quite hungry.
The last one comes from Brent Hills Hayes of Prospect. Where's Prospect?
Also in Sydney, in New South Wales.
Oh, there you go. And Brent writes, if you were able to choose one monkey ability, would you choose another? Is this another hypothetical?
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Bloody hell. If you were able to choose one monkey ability, would you choose a prehensile tail or feet with opposable thumbs?
I would say feet with opposable thumbs.
Yeah, I think I'm going to also.
Because I know how much opposable thumbs have been. That's the missing link.
Yeah. They're great. I mean, how good are they on your hands?
Yeah.
Imagine one on
your feet.
I feel like a tail would be fantastic, but it would also, you know, I don't like to
but
stand
it's
out too much. Oh, it's not
one of these hensile tails.
I think prehensile, from memory, that's one that you can use as an extra limb.
Oh.
So you could swing around on it, though. It's like an opposable tail.
Yeah.
If I'm remembering that correctly. But I think I'm just because, you know, a tail is going to be harder to hide, where you can put big shoes on and you can cover up that prehensile foot thumb.
Yep.
what's your reasoning there?
Mine?
Yeah.
Oh, just I know how huge the opposable thumb was in the human evolution.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine the leaps and bounds we could make with an opposable toe.
So, yeah, I'm just...
Opposable big toe.
I've just looked up prehensile tail. Prehensile tail is the tail of an animal that has adapted to grasp or hold objects.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's also pretty handy.
Yeah, if it could grasp ideas, I'd go with it.
Thank you to everyone who messaged in. Like I say, if you do have any thoughts that you want to share on the next episode or any future episodes, please just click that link below. The last thing we like to do is encourage you to give us a 5-star review on the app or whatever you're listening to right now. If you give us a 5-star review, no matter what you write, I will read it out on the show. Obviously, there are probably limits, but I don't think anyone listening are bad people who would make me say anything awful. It can make me sound awful, of course, that's fine. I usually prefer it to people who are really nice, because we find that slightly awkward to read. But it looks like since the last time we recorded, there's maybe four here. Let me read them out quickly. This one comes from TBR Blackpool in Great Britain, who writes 5 stars. This is my go-to. It's playing now. I'll not stop it. Primates is a podcast I always enjoy listening to, which is strange as it's also a podcast I never choose to listen to. If the podcast I'm listening to finishes and I'm busy with my hands full and Primates starts to play, I won't go and turn it off. You found a perfect balance there.
Primates is the wet weather when it's raining in the cricket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've subscribed to it. If it auto plays,
yeah,
I'll watch it. Thank you so much, TBR Blackpool.
This is, kids say the darndest things.
Yeah, that's right. Next one comes from Carl from Klee in the United States.
Ooh,
writing
Klee.
5 stars. Heard about this podcast from the legendary Stuart Matthews on the Science Hour podcast. And now I'm a Patreon subscriber. Good stuff. That's fantastic news, Carl. Love the work of Stuart Matthews on the Science Hour podcast. He that weird co-host of his who likes to get really close to ducks. He's a bit of an oddball, but I do love Stuart's work.
Stuart Matthews?
Yes.
Is this just pure coincidence that he's your name backwards?
Pure coincidence, yeah.
Is that how you found each other?
That might be, yeah.
Yeah.
I never ever actually connected the two. That is interesting. But yeah, that is a show that...
You were just out there saying Stuart Matthews.
And I never even noticed. But that is a show. I think we've put a couple episodes up of that on the Do Go On Patreon page. I should say, if you want to support this show and the other shows on the Do Go On podcast media network, go to patreon.com/dogoonpod and you can subscribe there. There's a bunch of bonus episodes on there.
Have you met in person?
No.
I'd love to introduce you. Stuart? Matthew?
Oh, that'd be fantastic. That'd be great. He's seeing pictures
Stuart, of him. Matthew? Matthew Stewart.
I feel like my heart would be a flutter because he's an absolute silver fox.
Ooh.
A real handsome devil.
Great.
In a white coat. Beautiful man. All right. This next one comes from Elliot CM in Great Britain. Elliot writes, hang on, geez, this is longish. Let me see. This is the first one I've had to click to open further. Elliot writes, 5 stars. You walk into an unassuming recording studio and head down the corridor, soundproof booths lining one wall. There, through the thick glass, you see Matt Stewart, playing with his phone, pretending to listen to Evan Munro Smith, staunchly defending his bad opinions on apes. Past the booth are a couple of glass-fronted fridges. One is packed top to bottom with fruit smoothies. Not real ones, of course. Not since Prohibition started. This is like a fan fiction or something. Everyone switched to these fake decals just to keep up the ambience. Still frowned upon, but not enough to get you brown bagged by the meat lobby's secret police. You pull open the door out of nothing but idle curiosity and discover a well-lit void beyond. You turn, surprised, and see Matt staring at you. He gives you a quiet nod and a wink before turning back to Evan. Slightly stunned, you turn, walk through the door and into the void. Down a slope that becomes stairs. Stairs become strangely decorated corridors. The cut stone bricks slowly giving way to raw hewn rock. Finally, you reach an imposing door. Your hand hovers over the handle. Could it be? But what if it's a trap? Another one of the lobby's schemes? No matter. You've come this far. You turn the handle and step through the door. Into the roar of light and sound. Everyone turns and cheers, beckoning you in. You're handed a fruit cockatiel, and a lei is draped around your neck. The room is immense, full of colour and taste and crispness you've not felt in so long. There at the back of the room, high on the stage, it's them. It's Getting Fruity with Matt and the boys. That's beautifully written, Elliot. A beautifully written review, and I think very much proof that I will read whatever you write. If you give us I can't believe you got that many words in there. Jeez, it was beautifully written.
It was beautiful.
Prose.
Would that
be prose?
Yeah. Was his name Matt?
His name was Elliot.
Elliot.
My name's Matt.
I think Elliot, yeah, there's like a future in being a bit of a dungeon master there.
Yeah. I think so too.
Yeah.
Yeah, really painted a vivid picture. And funnily enough, one of the co-hosts of Getting Fruity with Matt and the Boys is a dungeon master.
Oh, there you go.
Adam Carnivale. I've got to say, it's probably my favourite name to say in the world. In a world of so many great names to say. I think there was one more here. Let me see. Sorry, Saran. One moment, please.
That's your cue to me to fill?
No, that's fine. I've got, here it is. Here's the last one and we're all caught up. It's weird that people haven't been reviewing it since I've stopped making this show. This last one comes from System Hero in the US, writing 5 stars. Everything about this podcast is great, except Evan. He is perfect. That's beautiful. You are my System Hero. Thank you so much.
That was Elliot. Took us on a real journey.
Yeah.
But that was a very succinct...
How efficient was that?
Yeah. But both, I feel like a similar journey. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you to everyone who gave us reviews. And like I say, if you give us a 5-star review or wherever, on iTunes or wherever you listen, we'll read out whatever you write. Now, before we go, Saran, where can people find you?
I'm most prominent, I would say, on Instagram, at Saran Comedy.
And can people see your stand-up special?
You can listen to it on ABC Podcasts. It's just my name, Saran Jayamana. I think it's ABC Comedy Presents.
Great. I'll see if I can find the link. I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, please do. But I should put it up online at some point.
They can see it.
Yes.
It'd be more like the, you know, the animatronic ape.
Exactly.
We can see and hear.
That is the better experience.
Maybe one day even smell your comedy.
Yeah.
And yeah, hopefully we can do another episode while I'm still up here.
That sounds fun.
People can find Primates at Primates Pod on on Instagram. I'm so rusty with this. Twitter and Facebook, I believe. If you look for Primates, that's two words. You know, because I mean, it's the you're listening to it. It should say it on the thing, but there'll be links there as well. And I'm Matt Stewart Comedy on Instagram and Facebook, and now on TikTok. I do an occasional TikTok.
Beautiful.
And Matt Stew _ Art on Twitter, because that's what I do on Twitter. I do art, and I don't cringe whenever I have to say that out loud. So yeah, please follow us on all those things. And yeah, that brings to the end of the episode. Oh, this is another thing I've forgotten about, but the guest always does a sign off with our classic catchphrase that they've sort of riffed in the moment, but we pretend like they say it every week.
Oh,
so I'll say thanks so much for joining us, everyone. And as we always say here at Primates Podcast,
snap back to the Tuesday sun.
Latest.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.